Yeah, it's Extravagant Gangsta Radio. What you thought it was? I know that you've been told by how we roll. It's Extravagant Gangsta Radio. So watch these ratings explode. I know that you've been told by how we roll. It's Extravagant Gangsta Radio. So watch these ratings explode.
You know what it do, it's your boy R.A.S. We'd like to welcome you to a special edition of Extravagant Gangsta Radio. Today we got my man James Cruz of Violator Management. We got an exclusive interview with him, man. He chopped it up with Extravagant Gangsta Radio. He's going to tell you all about what it's like to be a manager of some of the greatest hip-hop acts in this business. That's 50 Cent, that's Busta Rhymes, Papoose, and the list goes on and on, baby. All them fire cats that are playing on your radio. Check this out, man. You're going to enjoy this one. James Cruz, Extravagant Gangsta Radio. You know what it is.
Hello.
Hey, James.
Yo, what's going on, John?
Hey, what's going on, man? Hey, thank you for actually doing this, man.
Oh, no problem. I'm sorry it took so long to pull it all together.
It's all right. I'm pretty persistent, so I hope you didn't mind me following up.
I don't know.
Up.
I respect that. I wouldn't expect anything less from someone who's an entrepreneur and professional.
No doubt. Hey, thank you for making this. Hopefully it won't take much of your time.
Just give me 1 second. You got to put your hold for 1 second.
Sure.
And I'll be right back, okay?
Okay. Excellent.
Okay, I'm back.
So for starters, you work for Violator, correct?
Yeah, I'm James Cruz. I'm a partner for Violator Management.
Okay.
I'm also the Senior Vice President of Marketing and Promotion.
Okay.
I handle the marketing and promotions for all of the Violator Managed artists. And I am day-to-day responsible for 50 Cent and Busta Rhymes.
Okay. So as someone who's overseeing big acts like that, you know, what's a day-to-day, day-in-the-life activity of James Cruz as it relates to managing 50's or Busta's career? Can you give us an example of some of the things you do?
Well, it depends on, you know, what day it is. It could go from having a breakfast meeting in the morning with the, you know, the head of promotions for a record label in regards to the rollout of a single to, you know, reading, you know, 5 or 6 different treatments for videos to sitting back and reviewing magazine articles and press on the artist to sitting down in a meeting with Reebok to strategize the design and development of the new 50 Cent G-Unit G6 shoe to, you know, negotiating with a clothing line about doing some custom Busta Rhymes t-shirts to, you know, setting up flights for Busta to get out to L.A. to do Jay Leno while making sure 50 does his call-in to Funkmaster Flex on Hot 97.
Wow.
All in between, you know, getting 50 on the phone with Winky to wish him luck for his fight, to making sure that that Missy Elliott's marketing campaign is up and running and her marketing strategy is written out well and that the record label has approved it, to making sure that Busta's budget for his new video shoot is squared away.
Well,
and
does it all happen in 1 day or in 2 days?
This all happened in 2 hours, if you want me to be honest with you.
Right.
Hold on 1 second, hold on. Yeah. Avi, what's the matter? Yes, I need it for tonight's fight. Nah, I need it back then. I need it back for the fight tonight. You're fucking me up. And tell him to come get. Okay. All right. So yeah, I need it back. Sorry about that.
No problem.
So that could be in 1 hour.
Wow. So
So
as SVP of marketing, right? I mean, is your goal to really get the artist more exposure, more business opportunities, you know, or just align them, you know, with the rollout of, for example, their new single? I mean, what would you say?
It's all encompassing. The foundation is the music side of things. It's about making sure that their music is solidified and the rollout of their single and their image and their album is done properly, because at the end of the day, that is the foundation. 50 Cent sold 14 million records his first time out, which opened up the opportunities for all the endorsements. But at the end of the day, he was, you know, he had the second best selling album of that year. Right behind, who had the first best album of that year. The second, The Massacre, was the second best selling album, right behind Mariah Carey, a year and a half later. But, you know, realistically, it's about the music first, and then it's everything else. Like, we're involved in Vitamin Water, we're involved in Reebok, we do all the marketing for G-Unit clothing, because it's all an image, you know, it's based on a certain image. So who better to protect, market, and promote that image but the people who created the image?
Right.
So when it comes to ancillary opportunities, when it comes to outside business endeavors, it makes more sense to have the people that understand it from the beginning be the ones to carry it on and keep it moving into the public marketplace. That's where the disconnect comes in, when you go ahead and you create this image and then, you know, you sign a certain deal and they don't understand who you really were and they're trying to create something else. The consumer sees right through that. That's transparent.
Right.
You know,
right.
It has to be consistent. A consistent, cohesive message will always outlast a quick glance.
Right, right. And give everybody a little background on how you got into this business.
How I got into the music business?
Into the music business. I've done a little reading on you, but maybe for people who may not know, how did you break into this particular business?
Well, I started as an athlete.
Right, you're a big baseball player,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, man. Baseball, that was my first love.
What happened with baseball?
I hurt my knees, got hurt, blew out my right knee, blew out my left knee, then blew out my right knee again, which was God's way of telling me, hey, kid, this baseball thing ain't for you.
A Yankee Met fan or what?
Oh, Yankee fan from day one.
No doubt.
We grew up, you know, in Brownsville, Brooklyn, and lived in 330 Dumont Avenue, and Mickey, Willie Randolph, lived in 360. You know, I have a photo of him holding me with his first Pirates contract.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so he was a close family friend, so of course, you know, you're a Yankee fan.
Right.
Growing up, and at that time, you know, watching Reggie hit the 3 home runs, you know what I mean? And, and seeing what, you know, the Yankees were about, you know, Thurman Munson, rest in peace, is a very emotional time growing up being a Yankee fan. But still a Yankee fan to this day. We work very closely with Robinson Cano. We work with Melky. Gary Sheffield was in my office for 2 hours yesterday. We'll actually be together tonight at the fight, at the Hammerstein. So, you know, we're still, you know, that's my, you know, truly my first love. But being an athlete really taught me teamwork, taught me team camaraderie, taught me that, you know, you think you're a big fish in a small pond. When you get into an open lake, you know, you're a little fish in a big lake.
Yeah.
So understand what your role is. Getting hurt really changed my outlook on life. And I had to find something to do. And luckily, my cousin was working at PolyGram at the time. And she decided to, you know, offer me up an internship. Cause I always loved music. A lot of people don't know, but in our neighborhood in Starrett City where I grew up, we had this group called Mustang and Bones. They did a song called Dangerous on the Dance Floor.
Okay.
And I always wanted to, you know, be a part of the crew in some way. And I actually performed at Sprats on the Water as a dancer for them, and actually Emerald City as well.
Oh, wait, was that a freestyle group or?
No, it's a hip house.
Oh, hip house. All right.
I know a girl by the name of Rita, light skinned Puerto Rican. I call Mita. It's one of those hip house records.
I probably heard it. Yeah, the house was big back in the day. Still is big.
Even when I was young, you know what I mean, when Menudo was looking for an English speaking singer, I tried out for Menudo. You know what I mean?
No doubt.
I always wanted to be in the entertainment business somehow. So she offered me an internship. I took that. 3 months after when the internship was over, you know, there was 160-some interns. There was one job, and they gave it to Jana Fleischman, who happens to be the vice president of publicity.
Right.
So, at Def Jam. So, you know, Jana got the job, and then, you know, Larry Stessel and Ed Eckstein. Ed Eckstein was actually the first black president of a major record label. So Ed Eckstein said, no, there's something about this kid. I really want him to stick around. So they created a job for me. They made me an assistant.
Excellent.
So I was an assistant in the retail department working urban as well as pop rock mainstream records. So I worked everything from Vanessa Williams to Brian McKnight to Black Sheep, as well as Mighty Mighty Boss Stones, Bon Jovi, Def Leppard. So I really got a lot of different influences early on in my career, which is good because I grew up and my mom was a big Sasa fan, a big disco fan, but she also listened to Toto and Chicago. And, you know, we had AC/DC records. We had Queen's Greatest Hits growing up. So I was influenced by a lot of different types of music. After Mercury, I was in a national position. I had to go into a smaller position. The smaller position was to be a regional person so I could really learn a market. well.
I gotcha.
And I can master what I did. So I went to Universal Distribution. There I was working Blackstreet, Tupac, rest in peace. I worked everybody on MCA, which included, you know, at that time, Mary J. Blige, the Uptown label. You know what I mean? So I was very, you know, Interscope was just starting out. So I was very lucky to be a part of that from the beginning. But, you know, Universal also had RMM Records, Ralph Mercado Records. So I was able to work Mark Anthony and La India. While I was working Blackstreet and Tupac and New Edition.
First set of music.
So that was great. And watching Mark Anthony and La India, who were freestyle artists,
right,
you know, transition into, you know, Latin singing artists, Spanish singing artists, was great for me. So I did that for a while. During that time, I was working with Reebok so much. And Reebok was really making an investment in the urban marketplace. They were signing Allen Iverson at the time. I sat in the actual meeting when they signed Allen, as an observer. I wasn't even at Reebok yet. And they brought me in, and I was the regional marketing manager at Reebok for a minute. After that, I 3 or 4 months into that, I was the global music entertainment marketing manager for Reebok. And I was doing all the music marketing across the world. Right. During all this time, I had shared a great relationship with probably one of the most talented entertainers I know, Sean Puffy Combs.
Right.
And Puffy actually decided to bring me back into the music business. I always had that itch. I always wanted to get back in. Like I said, baseball was my first love, but music was right up there. And Puffy said, you know what? You really want to be back in the music business? Come work for me. So, you know, lo and behold, I took the position at Bad Boy. I was doing the, I was working mix show promotion. The head of marketing quit. Puffy said, you run promotion, you either sink or swim in this world. And he said, you know, you're either going to sink with this or you're going to swim. I said, fuck it, I'm going to do the backstroke.
Right.
And, you know, I was with Puffy for a while. And then the company had grown so much and had gone in a different direction that Puffy and I was sitting down one day. I had so many different offers that everybody was trying to get me.
Right.
Because I didn't, you know, I had a contract with Puffy and all that, but it was like, okay, where are we going from here? And, you know, it was like Bad Boy was transitioning into other things, and I was still my momentum of being, you know, a promotion then. And what happened was I got an offer from RCA, I had an offer from Epic, I had another offer from another label, which I won't mention. And I sat with Puffy and I said, hey, you know, I got these options, I don't know what to do. He said, well, tell me your options. And I laid it all out to him. And the last option, the fourth one, was Violator Management.
No doubt. That was my man James Cruz of Violator Management, manager of 50 Cent, Busta Rhymes, and many more. Stay tuned next week for part two of that interview, man. James tells you all about his decisions between those four options he just mentioned. And you'll hear a lot more coming up next week, including some up-and-coming acts, some up-and-coming projects that James is going to announce. So be sure to tune in next week, baby, so you can hear part two of that interview. Big up, James Cruz. Thanks to Erica and everybody at Violator for making this happen. 1.